You're listening to Showtime
on URN.
Hello, I'm Ella Vedrinska from Showtime, URN specialist musical theatre show. And you're listening to our podcast Spotlight On, where I'm keeping you up to date each week with all the latest theatrical news. And as you can see from the logo of this week's episode, we are back to talking about Moulin Rouge. It's a topic I've covered plenty of times before, and you know by now how much I bloomin' love Moulin Rouge. It's such a Showtime favourite. And you may remember that together with my Showtime radio partner in crime, PR Abby, who runs all of the social media pages, we went to see the brand new West End production of Moulin Rouge on the 12th of November last year for its very first preview. We were literally some of the first people to see Moulin Rouge in the UK, and that was so exciting and such a privilege because it is really great. And because it's such a fantastic show, I thought I'd mention it again because just this week it finally had its official opening night with all the press and everything down in London. It had been delayed time and time again because of COVID. So I think more than anything, there was just a relief that the opening night could even happen at long last. But all the press reviews are now flying in thick and fast, all with very positive things to say, which comes as no surprise. So I thought I would take this opportunity to basically throw my hat into the ring too, especially because if you heard the live show, Showtime on urn1350.net this week, you'll know that we were running through some of the big shows to look out for in 2022, and Moulin Rouge is absolutely on that list. So first things first, if somehow this is the first you're hearing of Moulin Rouge as a stage show, then strap in. It's based on the Baz Luhrmann film of the same name and pretty much follows the same beats of the plot. A young, idealistic composer called Christian moves to Paris at the start of the 20th century and falls in with a group of bohemians who introduce him to the artsy theatrical nightlife at the Moulin Rouge. There, Christian meets and falls in love with the club's lead performer, Satine, and they begin a forbidden romance behind the back of an evil but wealthy duke who also wants to be with Satine. It's your pretty standard boy meets girl, boy falls in love, boy gets caught in her dressing room, boy writes a musical inspired by the current events and then gets everyone in the club to perform it in a weird facsimile of his own life kind of thing. It's romantic and chaotic in equal measures, and you really are swept along with everything from the minute the curtain goes up. And I will say, before I start on all the spectacular, brilliant things that I love about this show, the plot is definitely the weakest point. Not only do you have to accept the instantaneous love, but in the grand scheme of things, the story itself is quite thin. I don't know if they're sort of relying on people to already care a lot about the central characters because of existing knowledge from the film, and certainly when sad things happen in the second act, there were moments when I was a bit meh about it. Like, yeah, it's sad, but it didn't have the emotional impact that it could have or that I think it wanted to have. However, that being said, you barely even notice at the best of times because there's just so much else pulling you along. So Jamie Bojo, who plays Christian, brings such a genuine tenderness and warmth to the character that is really matched well with some of the darker, angrier moments that Christian faces. This is his professional stage debut as well, which is something that Abby and I talked about more in our previous Spotlight On episode when we reacted to the first cast announcement. There's a link here in the post if you want to give that a listen. At the point when we went to see it in November, you really couldn't tell that he was the relative newbie of the cast, but I have heard some more recent reviews saying that you can tell he hasn't quite got as much endurance or stamina as a more experienced leading performer would have, like especially when you're doing 8 shows a week and have some really big songs. I can't personally comment on that though, because he was great when I saw him. In fact, fans of Showtime will know how much I adore Aaron Tveit, who plays the role of Christian on Broadway, and I will hold up my hands and say I actually preferred Jamie Bojo's take on the character. That isn't to diminish one or the other at all. I just think that Jamie has this kind of wide-eyed excitement about him, coupled with a really beautiful lilting voice that, for me, suits the character of Christian really well. Then, of course, he plays opposite Lise LaFontaine as Satine, who really was the star of the show for me. She has the most gorgeous voice and carried off every single song with such effortlessness. It really was magical to see. Like, her version of Katy Perry's Firework just left me floored. I also think that of the main characters, and this goes back to the plot thing, Satine is probably the one that's most at risk of feeling a bit cliched, you know? And yet Lise LaFontaine makes her feel so real and so grounded and emotional and expressive. As I said, she really was the star of the show for me. And those two are just the icing on a brilliantly theatrical cake when it comes to the rest of the cast. Jason Pennycook from the original London cast of Hamilton is wonderful as the revolutionary Toulouse-Lautrec. Simon Bailey brings a real menacing quality to the Duke de Monroth, which only grows across the show. He even got booed at the curtain call, which is a sure sign that he has done a fabulous job as the villain of the piece. Sophie Carman-Jones wowed me as Nini the Dancer, and her and Elia Lotoro as Santiago were absolute dynamite together for the more dance-heavy songs like Backstage Romance, which opens Act 2 and remains by far my favourite number in the entire show. Zoe Burkett, Tamika Ramsey and Johnny Bishop then round up the Lady M's and are so immensely watchable. It's great seeing them appear in the background of different scenes, like just something to keep your eye out on because they are constantly there and moving. And then I also have to give a special mention to Clive Carter, an absolute legend of the West End himself, as Harold Ziedler. He is so funny, so commanding, and whenever he's on stage, you feel like you're in such capable hands. In fact, if you watched the Royal Variety performance last December, you'll have had a taste of the opening number from Moulin Rouge and seen Clive Carter lead the cast with such experience and confidence. It really is a joy to watch him perform. And of course, if you did see that performance on the Royal Variety, you'll also have had a taste of the staging and scale and grandeur and colour of Moulin Rouge. I mean, the Royal Variety is just a snippet of what to expect and really doesn't do it justice in any way, but at the moment it's the closest thing that we've got. I mean, from the second you walk into the Piccadilly Theatre in London, it feels dramatic. They have transformed the entire auditorium to feel like the inside of the Moulin Rouge. So everything is dripping in decadent red velvet, and there's a giant windmill on one side and an elephant on the other. There are cabaret tables right by the stage for audience members. There are dancers and performers literally hanging from the ceiling before the show even starts. Like, I will say, tickets are very expensive for Moulin Rouge, but you really get your money's worth and can see where it's been spent. And then when the show actually starts, it is just spectacular. It is a treat for the senses. It's so vibrant and exciting, and the audience are right there with it. The applause at the end of the opening song went on for so long when I was there. I have never felt so thoroughly wowed by a show. Like, it's slightly overwhelming, to be honest, but it is spectacular, over the top, grand theatre at its best. And we have director Alex Timbers to thank for that. He and choreographer Sonia Tyre have really pulled out the stops for this. It is no wonder at all that the show won basically every Tony Award available to it last year, including for things like lighting and costume and stage design, because it really is visually in a league of its own. To be honest, I am very, very interested to see how it fares at the Olivier's here in the UK this year, because I think it more than deserves all those same awards for the West End production. But I do think that maybe Cabaret, which has just been revived with Eddie Redmayne at the Playhouse Theatre in London, whether Cabaret might eclipse it somewhat. Like, Cabaret has also done a big transformation job of its theatre, although way more extreme than Moulin Rouge, I have to say. And it's really being lauded as the hottest ticket in London at the moment. And it has the sort of the gravitas with the story in a way that Moulin Rouge doesn't quite. So I really hope, just for everyone involved, that Moulin Rouge is able to keep up momentum by comparison, because it's so exciting and inventive as a show, and it does deserve to be recognised here for that. And with that bit in mind, I have to mention the music. We've featured the Broadway cast recording of Moulin Rouge plenty on Showtime before, and in fact, I'll put a link in the post so you can go and listen to it yourself if you haven't already. but the music is unlike any other show I know. They've taken most of the songs from the film and then just added in so many more, allowing them to use songs that didn't even exist when the film first came out. I think they've ended up with like 70 plus songs or something used in the entire show. It is a lot. But they are put together so well. I have said time and time again that no show does medleys like Moulin Rouge. Every song is such a thrilling combination of different bits of music. It's like each one is its own mini mega mix, but they blend together so well that more often than not, it feels like it's original music that has been written specifically for the show, and you forget that they're existing songs. I'm at a point now where I will hear the normal version of a particular song, like Pink's Raise Your Glass, for instance, and I'll be waiting for it to blend back into Walk the Moon, Shut Up and Dance, or Whitney Houston's I Wanna Dance with Somebody. It is such an incredible achievement what they've done with the music, and Justin Levine and his entire team deserve the world for their ingenious orchestrations. And look, a musical really is nothing without its music, and Moulin Rouge is one of the most exciting, dynamic, impressive shows to see right now in that regard. When you add in the brilliant cast and the stunning set design and the spine-tingling choreography, it really just is the icing on the cake. It is very, very good. So, if you're interested in Moulin Rouge the musical and want to see it for yourself, it's playing at the Piccadilly Theatre in London. Its run has already been extended and tickets are now currently booking up to the 23rd of July. You can head to moulinrougemusical.co.uk to get tickets, and I've linked that as well in the post here for you. Fair warning, tickets are expensive. There are some cheaper options available, but for the most part, you're going to be expected to fork out more money than I think any ticket should be. That being said, it's a show that more than delivers for what you pay for, and you can really see where your money is going, because it's obviously a very expensive show to put on in the first place. And to mention Cabaret again, those tickets are even more expensive than Moulin Rouge, and I didn't walk away feeling as if it was worth as much as I did when I left Moulin Rouge, if that makes sense. There's so much going on at Moulin Rouge and so much grandeur and visual spectacle that, especially as a one-off treat if you're down in London for a few days, I still felt like it was worth the pretty high price that I'd pay to be there. So that's just something to bear in mind. It definitely is a show to watch out for, though, and at the moment, when I think we all need a bit of a pick-me-up, it is absolutely the perfect option for that. So on that note, I will say goodbye for this week. Of course, I'll be back again next Sunday evening, twice, first at 6pm, live on URN at 1350.net with Showtime for a whole hour of glorious musical theatre tunes, and then right here again at 7pm, straight after that, for a brand new episode of Spotlight On to let you know exactly what's going on in the world of musical theatre. Because, as we say, the Showtime must go on. Until then, good night.
You're listening to Showtime
on URN.